Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's been 5 years since Bernie Madoff's arrest, but the fallout continues. The New York Times reports today that J.P. Morgan Chase is expected to pay the government a $2 billion settlement on allegations that it ignored the signs of Madoff's Ponzi scheme. Felix Salmon is a finance blogger for Reuters. He's here to explain the story. Felix, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, friend.
How much do we know at this point?
Well, we haven't. Nothing's official yet. We're just reading the press report. So basically what we know is what we read in the paper. But it looks as though J.P. Morgan is going to pay $2 billion and accept something known as a deferred prosecution agreement, which basically means they're implicitly agreeing that they broke the law. And in this case, the Bank Secrecy Act, they should have told regulators that there was suspicious activity in Bernie Madoff's account, and they didn't.
And we should say, as you suggest, that nearly all of the parties involved in the case are so far declining comment, J.P. Morgan, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI. But who would get the $2 billion that J.P. Morgan would reportedly pay out in this settlement?
The government. The government gets the $2 billion, and then they're making noises. And again, because it's not official, we don't know. They're making noises that some of the money will wind up going to investors who were defrauded by Bernie Madoff. Most of the individual investors in Madoff's funds have actually now been made whole, but a lot of the investors who invested in funds which invested with Bernie Madoff have not been. So maybe it'll go to them. I really don't know.
Bernie Madoff fooled a lot of people with his Ponzi scheme. Is it possible that J.P. Morgan Chase is just another misled party?
It's almost certain that J.P. Morgan Chase was a misled party and that Madoff was misleading them. The question is whether they should have reported certain activity, because a lot of the stuff he was doing with his bank accounts with J.P. Morgan, and J.P. Morgan was his bank for 20 years, was, with hindsight, highly suspicious. And so what they should have done is reported that suspicious activity. It's not so much that they knew that he was a Ponzi, although one of their very, very senior executives, Matt Zames, seems to have thought that he might be, but more that they just didn't tell the regulators what was going on in those accounts.
It's anticipated that the federal prosecutors will cite J.P. Morgan for a criminal violation of the Bank Secrecy Act. What's that?
That's basically the act which tells banks that they need to inform the government when something fishy is going on or when something fishy might be going on. They don't need to know that it's a Ponzi. They don't need to know that the client is doing something illegal. They just need to, and millions of these reports are filed every year. It's nothing particularly big. They just need to sort of give regulators a heads up and say, hey, there's something a bit weird going on in this account.
So it's really the Bank Lack of Secrecy Act.
Right. They just don't want banks to be too secret when it comes to the accounts that they hold.
You know, it certainly makes intuitive sense that if Bernie Madoff's funds were going up and up and up and up, while other things, including presumably J.P. Morgan's own funds, were going up and down and up and down like things do in the marketplace, that somebody at a place like J.P. Morgan, especially if he had a banking relationship with them for a long time, would have seen this and somebody would have scratched their head and said, this doesn't make sense. Do we know that a human being, as opposed to a computer, let's say, would have laid eyes on Bernie Madoff data in that kind of a way?
No, we don't. And as I say, absent seeing the official complaint and agreement, it's very hard to know exactly what J.P. Morgan is being accused of here. But what J.P. Morgan was doing was basically acting as Madoff's bank. They weren't necessarily looking at the returns that he was reporting to investors and correlating that to the amount of money that he had in his accounts. maybe they should have been, or maybe they said that they were and they weren't. That's unclear. But even so, the money going in and out of his bank accounts, you know, he was using that money in all manner of fraudulent ways, and they should have picked up on that.
And I'll mention that the New York Times article, which broke the story, calls this agreement, quote, nearly unheard of for a giant American bank and typically employed only when misconduct is extreme. So what would the extreme misconduct be?
You see, that one I don't know, and it's not clear from the article. I think what's happening here is that we're seeing a kind of escalation of penalties when it comes to JP Morgan. What happens is that, you know, you get a relatively small fine over LIBOR, say, and then you get a bigger fine over something else, and a $13 billion fine over mortgages, and nothing really ever seems to change at the bank. The senior management is largely unscathed. They manage to, you know, get through the London Whale fiasco without too much difficulty. Jamie Dimon, the CEO, is still very much in place. He has his chairman position still. And I think that regulators and prosecutors are just looking at JP Morgan and going, you know, we really need to make you take this seriously because we realize you're making so much money that if all you need to do is write a $2 billion check, you will happily write a $2 billion check and write it off as a cost of doing business, and it won't change anything. So in order to make this hurt, in order to make you notice, we're going to ask you to sign one of these deferred prosecution agreements to just show that you take this, that your regulatory responsibility seriously.
And when you add everything up, J.P. Morgan will have paid about $20 billion over the course of the last year, if I'm adding it up right, to resolve government investigations, including the record $13 billion payment to the U.S. Justice Department and other government authorities over mortgage securities. So the Madoff case is small potatoes compared to that.
And that's just one year. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing how many fines this bank has managed to accumulate, how, you know, aggressive the government has been, and yet how much Wall Street and investors still love it and don't really seem to care very much about all of these scandals.
Do you think this kind of an agreement and settlement, assuming what's been reported turns out to be true, winds up making it harder for future fraudsters like Bernie Madoff to even start down the road, no less get away with the kind of thing he did?
I think Bernie Madoff was unique. I don't think there are fraudsters like Bernie Madoff. I think that there was one Bernie Madoff. And the scary thing about Madoff was that he was uncovered only by the financial crisis, really. It was only when people needed liquidity and they needed to start cashing in their investments and they started going to Madoff and saying, I want to take my money out, that the Ponzi scheme collapsed. It was nothing to do with regulators. It was nothing to do with J.P. Morgan or anyone else noticing that it was a Ponzi. It collapsed of its own accord in the way that all Ponzi schemes will. I doubt that something like this is going to prevent future Bernie Madoffs, but I do think that he was unique and that probably we will never again see something of that scale. It was just so unprecedentedly enormous.
I just got a question from a listener that's pretty interesting, and it's, why is J.P. Morgan the only institution implicated? Wouldn't others who had contact in one way or another with Madoff have also been responsible for seeing, suspicious patterns in his profit rates?
Absolutely, yes. And what we've seen is that the chap, Mr. Picard, who was in charge of recovering money for the investors who invested with Bernie Madoff, actually managed to come up with billions and billions of dollars from precisely those other institutions. They weren't prosecuted by regulators in the same way, but there are a lot of Wall Street institutions who have been held accountable for their dealings with Madoff. It's not just J.P. Morgan.
And they say that about the, people who are duped and may have not lost as much money as some other people, or may have actually made money from Madoff because they got paid out, how could you not have suspected this and reported this yourself? And that's how they've tried to claw money back from, I guess, the Wilpons and the Mets and all these other people, right?
Exactly. So the Wilpons and many other investors who made money, there's this guy called Carl Shapiro who made billions of dollars out of Bernie Madoff and who paid it all back eventually, actually posthumously, most of it. So what happened is that the people who got out less than they put in, the people who were defrauded, wound up getting largely made whole, whereas the people who took out more than they put in, who were considered to be sort of co-conspirators in some way, even though they didn't know that it was a Ponzi scheme, they've had to pay back those gains.
And now J.P. Morgan, if the New York Times story this morning is right, is going to have to pay $2 billion in a settlement in connection with them not reporting suspicions that they at least should have had, the government says, about Bernie Madoff's financial records. Felix Salmon, economics blogger for Reuters, thank you very much.
Thank you.